This episode brought to you by the We Geeks Podcast at WeGeeksPodcast.com. Go check them out today. You'll really like it. And by you, by supporting our Patreon at patreon.com/frogpants. Check it out today.
I have
current geek!
Hey everybody, welcome to Current Geek. This is Current Geek, the weekly proceedings of the meetings of the Frogpants All-Stars. Geeks of the world and you to keep you current on all things that matter most. I'm Scott Johnson, that's Tom Merritt.
The best way to kick off a weekend, Scott Johnson, is to do a little current geeking with you and a few good friends.
The best part of giving up is current
the
geek
best
in your
part of giving up? Wait,
wait, what? We're quitting tonight? Is that what's happening? No. No, this show goes on.
Give up your work week.
Give
for
up your
relaxation.
Exactly. You're right about us having guests. We always have them. And I'm happy to report today that fellow podcasters in the WoW arena, specifically the folks behind Convert to Raid, one of the finest podcasts anywhere. And if you're raiding at all, if you like Endgame and World of Warcraft, you listen to these couple of doughheads. ladies and gentlemen,
why, thanks,
welcome.
Thanks for that.
Yeah, it's a nice welcome. Pat
the
Crane.
The weirdest thing is he means doe a deer.
Oh, I see. Oh, a female deer.
Oh, okay. All right.
That, I'm sure that helps. Pat Crane's here. Coltrane's here. Guys, how's it going?
Great, good. Man. Good. Very happy to be here.
Fantastic.
Very happy to be here. Sun is shining. Birds are chirping. And yeah. Mad Mardigan is the greatest swordsman that ever lived. So very,
wow.
Very happy about that.
Well, you guys are have been on our list for a while. I mentioned pre-show. It just seems dumb that somehow this has taken us this long. But thank you for being on episode 49. Think of that, 49 episodes.
That's right. Nice. It's impressive, man.
That's good.
You could have been 50.
I know. We couldn't make the 50. Oh, we're not 50.
We've only been doing the show for a year and 3 months, and we've almost got a year's worth of episodes.
I know. It's crazy. Congratulate us. All right. It is time for the top stuff.
Herbert Hoover, Secretary of Commerce in 1922, finds infant radio facilitates news gathering, as do many others in high public office.
Thomas Merritt.
C.D. Lawrence actually posted to currentgeek.reddit.com. Someone asked me today's Tom, how do I submit a story to Current Geek? And I said to them, well, strike it, Rich. You go to currentgeek.reddit.com like C.D. Lawrence did and posted what has become our most popular Current Geek Reddit submission yet. WWE SmackDown is moving to USA Network in Q1 2016, moving it off Sci-Fi, which has taken a lot of heat for it since SmackDown is neither considered Sci nor Fi.
All right. Any wrestling fans in the room? Pat, you like the wrestling?
I used to. I mean, you know, back in the day, I guess, back when, you know, it was like WrestleMania, like 5. Sure. Maybe a little bit. Maybe watch it.
Sure.
These days, not so much.
All right. No. I'm kind of the same. Coltrane, where are you on the?
Yeah, I'm kind of a fan of Ricky the Dragon Steamboat and
Warrior. Oh, my God.
Ultimate Warrior. Right. Jake the Snake Roberts, you know, yeah. Back in the day.
Sure.
But not so much now. Not so much now. But this makes a lot of sense because just like you said, it is neither Sci nor Fi. Obviously, it seemed like a big ratings grab. WWE is huge as far as ratings. It like dominates the night. You know what I mean? USA Network. I think they've got like Monday Night Raw or something right now.
That's right. Yeah, they do.
And it's huge. Like mm-hmm. The ratings are unbelievable. So I'm sure Sci-Fi originally had the same idea, but I'm glad now that it's moving off Sci-Fi and back.
I've never totally understood how this works because I guess WWE is, they farm out different event type programming to whoever is the highest bidder. Is that how this all works? Why is it not just, why are they not just one network or why are they not their own network for that matter?
Well, they are their own network. They yes. actually have a streaming platform now, but that's no different than Major League Baseball, which has its own network, its own streaming thing, also has Fox Game of the Week and ESPN Games and TBS. They all want to make as much money as they can wherever they can grab it.
So you're saying to me, baseball is real, right?
I'm right. saying baseball's rigged.
So
wrestling.
Yeah. Good point.
Wrestling is real.
Right. Wrestling is real. Right. And it's just kind of interesting, just given the fact that Sci-Fi had it at all in the first place, is always seemed real dumb to me, and it seemed strange okay. that they would even care to have that on a channel that was dedicated to science fiction. And there's a lot of fiction going on. I get that.
Yeah.
But not FY fiction, as Sci-Fi spells it down.
That's right. It's all ratings, though. You know what I mean? Like the History Channel, they've got these reality shows like Locker Room, this or like those, you know, Auction House Locker Room shows. And they've got all these reality shows on the History Channel. Like, what does that have to do with history?
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's all just ratings, you know what I mean? Trying to get as many viewers as they can.
And that's where this could be a bad thing, because if Sci-Fi can't afford to pay for WWE SmackDown, and then now it can't make as much money as it does when it had that ratings monster, it won't have as much money to make its science fiction programming.
So is this a case where they don't have the money? Is that the deal? We don't know. Okay.
No. Well, I mean, they just need to churn out a couple more Sharknados and we'll be good. Yeah. You know?
Maybe that's it. Really? They're just riding the Sharknado money train.
That's right. That's a big train.
It's a big, disgusting train. And they're already hard at, what is it, four we're on now? Something's coming. Three,
I know for sure.
I think three, and then four was announced. So
four's in the works, yeah.
Yeah, that's insane. They've become the Sharknado network. And I understand when networks have to kind of do what they have to do, but there's two very distinct paths these companies have taken. AMC used to show Breakfast at Tiffany's eight times a day. That was their job, right? They showed old movies. They're supposedly classics, and you would tune in and you would fall asleep to that. Then they switched gears and said, hey, guys, original programming, not only that, but some of the best rated stuff, some of the most highly thought of, critically received stuff, and we're going to change the face of television in a lot of ways. We're going to become HBO on basic cable, essentially, is what they ended up doing, while other channels went totally different directions. Sci-Fi went away from Sci-Fi and went someplace else. The Learning Channel is barely a channel, let alone a place to learn anything.
I don't think it's called that anymore either. I'm going to look this up real quick.
Is it like KFC, where they want to not tell you about the fried part and just use the acronym?
No, it's still called the Learning Channel.
Is it?
I thought, the Learning Channel Beta? What the hell is that? I have no idea. I thought that they had changed their...
Well, I know they push TLC as the name more than they ever say Learning Channel because they're not really teaching us anything about what little people do on a farm or what...
No, it's about tender, loving care now.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
And plus, you hear the word learning and that's like, I don't want to tune into that.
Yeah. Listen, Scott, TLC started in 1972 as the Appalachian Community Service Network, and I feel that they have drifted away from serving the Appalachian community.
Well, what if... Okay, let's say this. Let's just say Convert to Raid. We use you guys as an example.
Oh boy.
If suddenly next week you announced that your show was about how to plant trees and watch them grow, people would take a huge internet dump on you because they would say, wait, what happened to our endgame rating podcast in World of Warcraft that we've come to love so much? It may be one thing if you veered off a little and said, we're going to talk a little about heroes once a week. We're going to do that. You know, you can do that. But if you go way off the reservation the way that I feel like Sci-Fi has and channels like the Learning Channel and even History for that matter, what does that say? Does it say we shouldn't theme our channels? Like our channels shouldn't be so tightly closed in?
I just find it funny that you brought up gardening because we're actually bringing up a gardening segment on CTR this weekend because it's spring. You know, people got to know how to plant their stuff.
Sure.
That's all I'm saying.
Can't wait.
I would say, though, that we would never have gardening. It would be like Housewives of World of Warcraft because that's huge ratings.
That's how it starts, though, right? That. That's what all these networks do is they're like, well, we need to broaden the audience, right? They only do it because it gets them more people watching. And then eventually they realize, oh, crap, we're not playing music videos anymore. And either who cares, MTV now means reality shows, they change the name, which has happened a lot of times. It becomes True TV instead of whatever it was before. So it's always about like what show can get us the next big ratings based on the audience we have, and then abandoning the shows that got you there if they're not getting you the ratings anymore. I want to know, does this stuff matter for much longer, though? In a world where you can go out on the internet and get whatever you want whenever you want it, do you care that there's a packaged channel out there that's, you know, presenting you with options in a linear format?
Probably not. I mean, AMC is making some of the best TV programming. I go back to them. I keep going back to them as a good example. But their name means American Movie Classics. And it doesn't mean that anymore. It means Mad Men. It means Breaking Bad. It means all these other things. And so
Walking Dead. Right?
Yeah. So they've done it in a positive direction, while Sci-Fi and others have gone in this weird direction that we deem negative. But clearly, that's how they saw the money. And like they went where the money went, or else they wouldn't. I don't know why they would do it otherwise. So I don't know. It's fascinating how this stuff shakes out, and I'm glad for the AMCs of the world, and I'm sad for the Sci-Fis of the world. Yeah. Sci-Fis, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fortunately, we still do have Hallmark Channel, which runs Golden Girls starting at 9 p.m.
Oh, thank you for being a friend.
Yeah. We've still got that. 24 hours a day.
That's right.
All Golden Girls.
That's right.
Pour a little out for the Nashville Network.
Yeah. What? Speaking of Golden Girls, what if they were booth babes, Tom? What would we do with them in the year 2015?
We would tell them to cover their selves up. Right. Deba Singh pointed out in an article, the tech conferences are beginning to implement dress codes aimed at banning booth babes. Lots of examples. The RSA conference is going to require all booth personnel to wear attire appropriate in a professional environment. While World Congress already prohibits overly revealing attire, CES reserves the right to determine appropriate attire. China Joy Gaming Expo has banned booth babes altogether. Eurogamer Expo also has a dress code. How about E3? They leave attire decisions up to booth personnel.
So, okay, there's no, just to clear this up, there's no difference, well, there is a difference, obviously, between booth personnel, which are, you know, usually representing companies, trying to sell a thing or whatever. There's a difference between that and somebody wanting to cosplay as sexy Sailor Moon or something, right? Like, we're
good
not
point.
Telling them.
This is about people in booths who are reaching out to the public. And we're talking mostly at trade shows.
Sure.
When you bring in cosplay, that's Comic-Cons, and those are different. Mm-hmm. We're talking about trade shows where people are there to do business. And I, you know, having gone to CES for decades now, although I haven't been there in 3 or 4 years, but having gone to CES back in the day, that was always a thing, was like, get some scantily clad women to catch the attention of the male executives. And as times have changed, the executives aren't male. And the attitudes towards this are not as, you know, oh, well, boys will be boys as it used to be. And so conventions are saying, hey, you know what? Let's act professional.
Seems like the natural way of things that this will change, and I think that's probably a good thing. What do you guys think? You guys think this is a good move for conferences?
Well, they've been doing this at PAX as well. I mean, I think that's how they started it out with PAX. They just said no booth babes whatsoever. We'll just, you know, play games, have fun. And I think that, you know, especially with all the Gamergate stuff and with all the, you know, other junk kind of going on in the game world right now, you look at that stuff and you're like, maybe we should be a little more sensitive, and maybe we should try to just play games and have fun and not make the, you know, social commentary and
not necessarily kind of appeal to everybody's baser instincts. Like,
right,
that's
right.
My thing. It's not like, ooh, suddenly nobody thinks attractive women aren't attractive or that attractive men aren't attractive. It's just that, do I need, and on both sides, seriously, do we need a Chippendales model with his business card hanging out of his crotch for me to be interested in the car he's selling?
Right. You would never see that. Or if you did, it would be a huge stunt that everyone would talk about.
Right.
Because it's such a male-dominated industry for
sure. Sure.
Right. Yeah. I got to admit, I was at E3, I think, like a couple of years ago. And I was in the World of Tanks section. And there's this girl, and she's wearing this bikini, and she's like straddling the cannon of this tank. And I was like, this is outrageous. I mean, I walked over there and, you know, I checked it out. I'm kidding. But it's just outrageous how far it's gone. So hearing this kind of stuff, like they're doing a similar thing, like on Twitch, even where with Twitch, there's kind of a dress code now that you can't be all, you know, half naked streaming, you know. So I kind of like it that this is kind of happening in different ways. Like, you're right, the old school way of boys will be boys is kind of done. That's kind of that old school regime, and I like kind of where it's headed now, and not these crazy outfits trying to get people to come over.
Yeah, it just feels like I'm being tricked at the most base. Like, I get less when I go to Tijuana, I get less tactics,
as you do so often.
I'm off so often in Tijuana, but the one time, say it this way, the one time I was in Tijuana, they didn't try to use any of those tactics on me. It was more like, you know, good deal, come in here, good deal. And that was pretty much it. But
you
wait,
doctor,
what we basically have said, I got talked into a marble chess set while I was there. What the hell is that? A great big marble board. It was heavy as crap, and all the pieces were marble. It was actually kind of a nice set. But I didn't need it. I didn't want to carry that back or fly it home. It was the dumbest buying decision of my life. But they got me. And all I'm saying is, when they do these things at booths and they've got these ladies in scantily clad clothes, it is to appeal to the most basic human desires. And right. I always feel a little cheated by that. So I'm glad to hear this.
I think Pumpkin Escobar in the chat room has it right. Booth kitties and puppies.
Hey,
yes.
That's
put
all right.
Some cute kittens out there. People will be stopping at your booth.
Oh, yes. Where are they going to take them all to take a dump in the middle of the day, though? Man, I feel like there's questions here not
Vegas.
Answered.
You don't, I mean, no one will notice.
Yeah, just take a side street.
put the litter box near their like competitor's booth. So that's where you put the litter box.
Right. Or just walk them through the circus circus lobby. It'll be fine.
All right. So you guys know the thing where you go to see a Marvel movie, and not a Marvel movie like his chest set, but a Marvel movie.
Sure.
And all the people around you leave during the credits and you're like, amateurs. Well, Dee Bissinge sent us the news that Joss Whedon told Entertainment Weekly there will not be a post-credit scene for Avengers Age of Ultron.
Whoa.
There will be a mid-credits epilogue, but anyone hoping for a second helping of shawarma will remain hungry. And if that last sentence doesn't make sense to you, can we help you?
He explained this thusly in an interview Joss Whedon did that I really like the comparison. He says, look, nobody wants to see Indiana Jones do the gun versus sword trick two times in a row, even though I think they made us do that, didn't they?
Yes.
Yeah, which is unfortunate. Yeah, but his idea, or his point is, nobody likes that, so use it the one time and don't use it again. Well, when he said that, I thought he meant like the stingers period, like end of Marvel stingers, kind of like saying we're not going to have Ratzenberger in our Pixar movies anymore. That is like, you know, kind of sacrilege to do that. Right. But at the same time, now that I understand what he's talking about, yeah, you don't need to have two. You don't have to sandwich two in there again. I feel like, no pun intended when I said sandwich, but if you put that one at the end again, I feel like you're just asking for people to go, meh, that wasn't as good as the first time, because it won't be. It's not the surprise it was. In fact, in Europe, that movie opened without the shawarma scene. So that thing was added in before the U.S. release, which is what, like a week, 2 weeks later, whatever, after Sweden got it. They didn't even get that shawarma thing. Then we got it, like this great big fun surprise. Why try to manufacture that again when you've already got your mid-credits thing, which is everyone expects that? It's fine. Like, who's going to get, who's mad about this? That's what I want to know. Anyone mad? No one's mad.
No.
The guy who's mad is the one that sits through it without reading this article and waits for the end and then goes, wait, what happened?
Huh? Yeah.
Yeah.
And we've been there. And then we're walking around going, amateur.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I think it was like Captain America, or like the first one or something like that. But I remember like waiting and I was like with my in-laws and everything, like, oh no, just wait. There's like a scene at the end. Yeah. And then there wasn't. And I was like upset and angry. And I look like the biggest a-hole on the planet.
So did they start this with Iron Man? I can't remember what started it. It seems like that had Nick Fury in it at the end.
With the hammer, right? With Thor's hammer, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, right. That's exactly
right. Is it like
right.
You ready to join the team? Or like there was some kind of big, it like tied it to the whole universe or
yeah,
something.
Yeah,
like
that's
that.
When we all that's when we all had a taste that ooh, they might make an Avengers movie, and then we still didn't believe it in 08 or whatever that was. But yeah, and then they did it, you know, then it became a kind of a thing to do. But the second one, so this mid one, great, everybody's for it. The second thing, that's the part they're removing, and I'm totally fine with it. And thanks for the heads up, because now I won't sit there the whole time.
Exactly. Uh-huh.
Very happy about that.
You know?
It's a total fake out.
Ah, damn it.
Total fake out.
He says so, actually, he says it's not, right?
At the very end of the credits, Joss Whedon will come up on screen and go, I told you there's nothing here. Go home.
Dude, awesome. You might be right. You do like a Ferris Bueller minute at the end of that thing.
Right.
Oh, that's bad. You know what? I hate to say this. This is embarrassing, but I will probably stay till the very bitter end.
I know. Now you have me curious.
Yeah, because I know he's saying it's not a scam and they're not going to do it, but I don't know, man. These are such event movies.
Eileen and I always stay to the end of the credits anyway, because we just don't like having to fight out amongst a bunch of people. So we'll just sit there and kind of read Twitter and look at the credits. I always look for my friend Eva's name in the graphic animation, because she does a bunch of animation for a bunch of movies. Mm-hmm. And so we always kind of wait to the end anyway. So I will definitely be waiting to the end.
All right. Well, let's see how it goes.
Our next story is probably something you guys aren't as familiar with. It's a game called World of Warcraft.
Oh, I've heard of this.
What?
I'll get you up to speed, though. Okay. Lightow wanted us to talk about the new in-game tokens. If you haven't heard, WoW tokens can be bought for $20, redeemed for 30 days game time. Players can then buy and sell the tokens through a region-wide auction house. All the tokens are the same price at any moment, but that price fluctuates with demand. The initial price when they unleashed them was 30,000 gold. Over the last 12 hours, your Twitter account says they ranged anywhere from 24,000 to 27,000 gold.
So what's your take on this, you guys? On the instance today, we went in deep trying to figure out, you know, with our very basic economic understanding of how economics work in a digital space, how this is different than normal auction house stuff. Like, we went deep on it, but do you guys have like a... I don't know, an umbrella take on how this is going for Blizzard and how it, you know, how it works for players?
The best was a meme that I saw with the guys from Trading Places saying, I bet that we can have player A trade gold with player B and make a boatload of money off of this deal. And then it was same bet. Yes. $1. So it was, it's kind of that deal. You know, the two old guys from Trading Places. But I think that it's worked out pretty well. I don't think that it's gone as people, I think everybody expected it to go this way. I mean, they said it so you can buy the token for $20 and then you can sell it for whatever it's going for. And right now it's about 25K. It started out at 30, and I think the people thought that it was going to go down for that. So quick, I mean, quick update worth it to you.
Quick update, by the way, at 2:15 a.m. on April 10th, so early this morning, 26,918. It is now, as of 6:15 p.m., I assume this is Central, but I'm not sure. Maybe it's Eastern time. 23,241. So we've dropped a little bit. Yeah. Anyway, just to give the update. Didn't mean to interrupt. Keep going.
No. I think that still falls within the area that people think that it's going to be. I mean, I think when it first was announced, people were thinking that it was going to be about 1,000 gold per U.S. dollar.
Yeah.
And so I think it still feels right. And maybe.
Oh, sorry. You cut out for a sec. You shorted on us.
That's all right. There Coltrane, you go while I try to fix this.
Well, no, I think that the thing that I like about this, I've seen this in other MMOs as well. EVE Online, of course, had something very similar, the cred system. WildStar as well, even another game called ArcheAge. I got to say, though, I like it that Blizzard is controlling the price of this and not the players.
Yeah.
I think that's a huge, huge, wonderful, wonderful thing that you know that I remember playing ArcheAge, actually, and it was the exact same thing. You buy a token on their website, and then somebody puts it up for like 6 gold and just tanks the market. You know what I mean? And puts like 3 or 4 of them up just to be a complete jerk, you know?
Like they do now with, you know, certain BOEs and things like that. They'll put stuff out there and go, all right, well, I'm going to screw with this market and make it drop at least on a server-by-server basis, and there's no way they were going to let this happen here.
Right. So I'm really happy that at least Blizzard is controlling the price with this. And it is kind of a fun thing to kind of watch, you know, it go up and down, and there's a whole thing to it. But I'm glad that they're doing this. And also a funny tweet I saw was interesting. Some guy, he in their raid team, couldn't afford WoW. So this way the raid team pooled their money together and could afford a subscription for him. So we could continue to raid. So I think there's some definite positive benefits to this as well.
Yeah, it's gone as low as 20K gold. That's as far down as it's been. So we'll see if this thing levels off at something in the 23 to 25 range. That's what people are expecting.
Yeah,
and I have to admit,
go
ahead.
When you put up a WoW token up for sale, you'll be quoted the amount of gold you'll receive once someone buys it. You're guaranteed to get that amount no matter how the market moves.
Right.
So that's kind of nice. Yeah. So if you buy it for this, then it drops or goes up. It doesn't matter.
Man, I wish the Federal Reserve would do that.
That's exactly right. And I wonder, I used to wonder how my brother-in-law, for example, can sit and watch stock prices all day, because that's one of the things he does. And I think I kind of understand it now. Like, once you're kind of invested in the area that it's in, this has been this is a very small number. It's one item. We're talking about a very finite thing, not an entire market full of lots of companies and products and markets. But it's fun to watch it go up and down.
Looking forward to that Twitch stream that CNBC style takes.
Oh, you know,
on
that's
in-game
coming.
Currencies.
Yeah, it's exactly.
Great idea. I like that.
Bugs and everything, the scroll at the bottom and everything. Right.
You know that's coming at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway.
All the servers listed. That'd be amazing. Mm.
All right, folks. Alert all commands. Captain Kipper let us know that as of today, you can purchase the entire Star Wars saga as a digital HD download. Each movie generally costs about $20 at the different stores. The entire series ranges from $90 to $120, depending on where you get it. If you buy it through iTunes, Vudu, or Google Play, all the movies except A New Hope will be available on the other services through Disney Movies Anywhere. Disney doesn't own the rights to New Hope. Fox does. However, if you buy it through Vudu, you not only get the Disney Movies Anywhere, but you get access to A New Hope through Ultraviolet, which means you can then watch A New Hope on Flixster Cinema Now. Also, trigger warning, with the exception of A New Hope, the digital downloads no longer include the 20th Century Fox fanfare, because Fox only owns that one. So I don't know how that makes people feel. Angry.
That makes me feel a little weird, only because it's so synonymous with that. You know, the beginning of Star Wars is so that famous.
Here's what's weird. Last night I had pre-ordered. Last night they showed up. And by the way, bought it through Vudu. They showed up on Vudu. They showed up on iTunes. They showed up on Google Play, except for New Hope, obviously. So I go to Vudu. I play A New Hope, and it's like the 20th century theme, and I go into New Hope, and I'm looking at some of the special features, et cetera. Then I go to check it out on iTunes, and I pick Revenge of the Sith just to be like, ah, let's see what this one looks like. And there are some cool special features that don't have anything to do with the prequels in the Revenge of the Sith interface. So I watch those, and then I play a Revenge of the Sith at the beginning just to see. And there's this kind of the processional sound from the end of the original Star Wars kind of sounding thing over Lucasfilm. And I go, huh, I don't remember them having sound over the Lucasfilm thing before. And then it goes into the movie, and it didn't click with me that there was no Fox fanfare for a second. I was like, something was just very strange, and I felt something was wrong.
So you did feel like something was missing, though. There was like a sense.
It took me a minute to realize what was going on because they played that other thing, and I was so distracted by that. But folks, that's what you're in for with Star Wars Episode 7.
Well, it would throw me off in both Empire and Return of the Jedi, aka the Muppet movie. Those two would throw me off if I didn't hear that. But I feel like the prequels, I don't care nearly as much. So how are you guys feeling about this? It's kind of cool that it's spread all over the place and not just in one, you know, one place. You can get it in all places, pretty much.
Right.
I'm not happy. Well, here's my question. So are these the, like, new collector editions where Lucas added a whole bunch of stuff in front of the screen? And, I mean,
the guns are walkie-talkies and all that?
These are special editions. Yeah. They're the most recent special editions where R2-D2 is covered in rocks and Han and Greedo kind of shoot at the same time.
Oh, gosh, that drives me nuts. The biggest one, I just got to Star Wars nerd out for 2 seconds. The biggest thing that upsets me the most is at the end of Return of the Jedi, when Luke is yelling to Vader, "Father, please!" And the Emperor's like lighting him up. And then in the original, Vader just picks up the Emperor and the music swells. And he carries him and he throws him over the ledge. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
In this new edition, these special editions, Lucas added Vader yelling, "No!" As he picks up the Emperor and throws him over.
It's the worst freaking
idea. So now you can't hear that music swell. You can't hear. It's no longer this emotional moment. Yeah. It's just, no. It drives me crazy.
I'm going to hang on to my weird DVD set that I have that are the original cuts, and that'll do me for a while. But it's to me, it's the little things. Like, that's a big, egregious one, and it's almost like one you can point out and go, okay, that's crappy, and we all know it. But for me, it's the little stuff. Sarlacc pit with like a bird head beak thing in there. And extra tentacles, like whatever the hell that's supposed to be.
I kind of like the Sarlacc. I think that one actually improved. The Sarlacc looked a little lame before.
I like the Sarlacc pit as a big open space vagina that just...
Yeah, you're just being nostalgic or weird. Yeah,
gross. But either way, like a thing that just... is that if it's 1,000 years of digestion... that doesn't make sense. That bird beak's going to chew me apart and it's going to like gnaw at me.
You know, you've seen the Lego construction. There's like a TV down there. Refrigerator.
Right. That's right.
Well, then that's canon as far as I'm concerned. But all his changes annoy me. Look, even if you're going to put in Episode 1, A New Hope, if you're going to put that Jabba the Hutt walking around scene, fine. That one's fine. Except you have to have it so when Indiana Jones steps on his tail and makes a fart noise, do you have to do that?
Ooh.
Right. Oh my gosh, dude.
It drives me nuts. Do you think they're ever going to re-release the originals?
So here's my theory on that. I think that this is, yes, is the answer to that. I think that they're going to, at some point, Disney's not stupid, and they can do this if they want to. They will make a definitive classic edition, and you will buy it again, or wait to buy it then. That is definitely something I predict will happen, and I don't think it was going to happen under the Lucas regime, but I think it's going to happen now. And there's no reason.
The only question that I have is, how many times do we have to buy Star Wars?
Yeah, no doubt.
How many times?
Yeah.
Until they take out that no.
The answer is all the times. You have to buy it all the times. I mean, I still have the VHS version over here somewhere. I have the VHS special edition version over there somewhere. I've got probably 3 different DVD sets. And I have a laser disc laying around someplace with Empire on it. So yeah, they want us to buy all the versions. And so far they seem to be doing pretty well. The early numbers on these digital releases, Tom, have been kind of good. They're selling.
Here's the problem. And this is one thing that's interesting. Fox still owns distribution rights on these through 2020. So I don't know what deal they made with Fox to remove the 20th Century Fox logo there. However, they own distribution rights on Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope, forever.
Yeah.
So what has to happen before they can release those unedited originals, I think, is they have to get a deal with Fox to put out a box set.
And you think they'll do that?
Well, this is a good sign. The fact that they were able to get a deal with Fox to put out all six makes me think that it's possible. But you're and really the objector to putting them out before was Lucas saying, I just don't want them to be seen. I'm embarrassed by them. That is not what my vision was. And these new special editions are the most current vision of what I think they should be. Mm-hmm. Whereas now that he's out of the picture somewhat, now it's up to Fox and Disney to say which number percentage sharing allows us to agree to do this.
Yeah. Well,
yeah. George always wanted that bird beak.
Oh, freaking bird beak, dude. Yeah. At least make it like tentacly. How about a big fleshy looking mouthy thing? Not some bird. Ugh, I hate it. Anyway, I could go on all day about those dumb changes.
Instead, let's do you guys mind if we switch to talking in Klingon?
Let's do it.
Because Roddy Cap pointed out, language learning app Duolingo announced it will soon add a new language, Klingon. Klingon program will start as English to Klingon, but they might expand it to other languages besides English. It is not actually part of Duolingo's core product, but is part of the Language Incubator program, which is a way for users to crowdsource the addition of new languages to the app.
Well, that's kind of cool, I suppose. I mean, I don't know. There are a lot of people that think Klingon, as currently constituted, is a full, complete language, and I guess why not? It's only used in sort of fantasy circles, but it's a, you know, there are people who have memorized every phraseology and word and nomenclature known to Klingons, and it kind of works. So I guess why not?
I wish them nothing but kapla.
Yes, exactly.
You got to remind me what kapla is. Is that a, what is
success.
That?
Success.
All right. Yeah. Thank you.
Duolingo has a page up where you can sign up to be notified once it's actually available. It's not out there yet.
Mm.
But the course contributor, Lokhod, is the one who is working on this. So you got to give him your whatever the Klingon word
from
for
a,
thanks.
From a World of Warcraft kind of perspective, a lot of Klingon words are like Warcraft-like boss names. They got that weird apostrophe in the middle. And
Loktar.
Yeah. Loktar and all that. In fact, it's very, there's a lot of Klingon influence probably on the, at least on the orc side.
Sure. But, yeah, no, absolutely.
What do you guys think of this? You want this? You want to do this?
Well, I'm trying to learn like Spanish. I think that, you know, is probably a little bit more useful. But yeah, no, I think this is kind of neat that, you know, maybe there'll be like a Tolkien Elvish, you know, there's some people that can speak in Elvish.
Well, do you mean Quenya or Sindarin?
Oh, jeez. Oh,
see, we're talking to the master
freaking
here.
Nerd.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Right. Yes. My producer on Daily Tech News Show is the one who actually speaks one of those, and I can't remember which one.
Can she really?
Oh, man.
I don't think she can speak it, but she has studied it.
I already thought Jenny was rad. I didn't know she could do that. Now she's radder in my book.
I don't want to overpromise. In my mind, she can speak it fluently.
Right.
Can she do it into her watch and have it do things? Oh, wait.
She could do it into that one ring.
Yes. Speak to you in slow motion with a nice lens flare. Right.
I see you. I'm like, yes, your picture looks great.
I don't know what the problem is here.
Well, how is the Apple Watch doing? It's last night, right? Everybody pre-order or no?
Oh, I see what you were trying to do. Transition.
Transition.
Sorry. Sorry, I was...
It was so subtle. My
goodness. Yes, my apologies. Apple Watch went on sale last night. I almost begrudgingly went online to experience the ordering process so that I could talk about it today. And like all Apple product launches, it was amazing. Everyone had a hard time getting on the site right at first, and people were saying, oh, you got to use the app, it's better. And then and pretty much immediately, a bunch of versions were having their shipping dates show up as 4 to 8 weeks instead of April 24th, so they were selling out quickly. And now all of them are shipping sometime in the summer. If you go on and order one right now, you're not going to get it by April 24th, most likely, although who knows, things happen. And the other thing about it is you can make an appointment to go into a store and look at them. They'll try to accommodate walk-ins to look at them, but you can't buy it in the store. You have to go online to buy it.
Yeah, at least for now. And the worst part about this is, I talked to a couple of people who did this. They really wanted to walk into the store, try it on, get their 15-minute appointments so they could make a buying decision, which makes sense, right? You
sure.
don't want to buy it sight unseen. They went in and did that. And because they created an appointment and got their 15 minutes, they are now getting their watches, if they decided to get it, in like July. Because they went in to check it first and didn't do the midnight sight unseen thing, and that's unfortunate. I don't know how else you I don't know what they do to fix. I mean, there's no way to really fix this except suddenly have no demand for the product. But I guess congrats to them. And I'm, you know, we've talked about it earlier in the week, but I'm waiting till I want to see how things go. I'm not. This is not the whole watch interface thing. It's not about Apple. It's not about Google or anybody else. I just don't know that that's the interface I'm ready to plunk down $400 on. So,
well, especially not as a first gen. Yeah. I mean, that seems to me more like let's wait and see what kind of apps we have going on here first, and then we'll take care of it after that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I got my phone, so I didn't have to have a watch. I don't know. That's
right.
That's a good point. I did that too. I quit. In fact, even when I had a flip phone, I didn't have a watch anymore because I went, oh, this flip phone's got a clock in it.
That's right.
It's like a pocket watch.
That's why I got rid of watches in the first place. I don't like them. Now, Tom, you wear one though, right? Like a normal watch?
I don't. I don't. I used to. Purely for something I was involved in where you needed to have a second hand to time things. But once I stopped doing that, I was like, I just got out of the habit.
I think I'm thinking of Ibit. He loves them, collects them, has a ton of them. And of course he pre-ordered his, so he's all in on this thing. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be incredibly successful. That'll be good for us if they're going to flesh this thing out and figure it out over a year's time. And then maybe, just maybe, second, third gen, all of us jump in and we've all got watches that distract us all day. Fantastic.
Right. I actually had, you know, the coolest watch of all time is not the Apple Watch. No, it's the Pac-Man watch from 1980, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
whatever it was.
Yeah.
And, oh, I love that watch. That was great. Right up until I jumped into the lake with it on.
Yeah, exactly.
It's very sad.
I like the watch as far as the convenience stuff, like being at the counter and you can like hold your watch over the scanner thing and it'll like, you know, ring up your groceries. Like you'll pay for it like on your watch or something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like in front of the credit card scanner. Like I like things that ease of life. Like that's kind of cool. Like that's techie and cool and gadgets. And I guess you can walk up to your hotel room and hold it up. You don't need a card key anymore and just boop and then it'll go through.
Yeah.
But I'm like you, man. I need to wait for second, third generation and see, okay, what else they're going to add? What is this? And also just see what the public thinks.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
How does people feel about it? I know when they first announced it, I believe Apple's stock kind of went down. So I'm curious now with the pre-orders, I'm assuming it probably went up, but.
Yeah, people buying like crazy usually make stock prices go up. But I just need to know whether or not that thing is going to be worth the money. Like if they'd have said, hey, the new Apple Watch is $199 for just the sports one or whatever, I would have said, take my money. Because that's enough for me to say, that's a thing I can try and I can experiment and I can play with. And $200 is an entry price I'm willing to pay for that experience, even if it's not as good as next year's. But, you know, minimum $400 after tax, roughly.
Right.
No, I don't think so, man. That's, you know, I got
so
other things.
So buy a Pebble.
Yeah, I could buy a Pebble. Oh, I guess I could buy a Pebble, I suppose.
Works with iOS.
Yeah. Is it any good, though?
Yeah.
Is it just a watch?
That's the problem, right? It's not It's not even the price.
Yeah.
It's the fact that you're like, what? And I think you're absolutely right. We have to wait. I think people who are not sure they want one or not just like ravenous to have the latest thing should wait and find out what people end up using it for.
Right.
That's always the case. Like the iPad, a lot of people said, I don't get what this is for. And then after it had been out for a few months, you started to realize what it was good for. And people started to want to have it for those things. So it's not obvious what this is going to be best for yet, I don't think.
Yeah. Maybe the Pebble Time is my answer. Although those look like nerd watches, and that's the other problem. The Apple ones are very pretty. I don't know. Time will tell.
Is it?
It kind of looked all right. It looked okay on Katy Perry's arm in her Instagram today. It looked all right.
Do you have Katy Perry's arm to wear it around on?
No, but I kissed a girl and I liked it.
Really weird if you did.
It was a little bit weird. We're gonna.
Oh, by the way, stock went up like a tiny bit.
Oh, it did. Okay.
Which is normal. You buy on the rumor, you sell on the news. So their stock always goes down when they make an announcement, and then it goes back up.
Nice. Well, we're going to jump right into the pop quiz. Before we do, though, I want to tell you about our friends at We Geeks Podcast. It's a fantastic podcast. They're already 8 episodes in, and I knew these names. Howard Pinsky and Nathaniel Dodson. These were these names that jumped out at me, and I went, hold on, I know these guys. They are two of YouTube's top design educators. You like Photoshop, you like Illustrator, you like Adobe stuff. Their names are all over that crap. Like, and it's not crap, it's good. Millions, 88 something point something million views on their videos. Just like incredible stuff. And they've started a podcast that focuses mainly on design and photography and tech news and all the stuff we love here on Current Geek. So I want people to go check it out. It's at wegeekspodcast.com. That's the main website. You can find them on SoundCloud, iTunes, really pretty much anywhere where podcasts are found. There are 8 episodes in. You can catch up on it, and we recommend it. That's WeGeeksPodcast.com.
You should go subscribe. You should go support their Patreon if you want. But if nothing else, just go look at it.
Yeah.
They're designers. You could tell. It's so pretty.
It makes me want to redo all my websites.
Seriously.
When I went there today.
I know.
It had that weird effect on me. But anyway, go check it out. Again, that name is WeGeeksPodcast.com. And big thanks to them for sponsoring the show. All right, pop quiz.
America scores and wins.
All right. That music can only mean one thing. It is time for the pop quiz. That's where we quiz our guests in areas of their expertise. They compete as best they can. If they get answers right, if they get it wrong, Tom scores the whole thing in a way that makes no freaking sense. And by the end, we're all smarter and better for it. We're going to start today, I want to say, with Pat. Pat, we're starting with you, buddy.
Okay. All right.
I'm going to get you two up.
I'm nervous.
Camera.
I know, right?
Should not be nervous. These are, you don't know what this is. This is a thing we don't usually remind people, but we don't warn people ahead of time. So, Pat Crane, here are yours. It is Ice Crown Citadel trivia.
Oh, jeez.
It's been a while,
great.
Baby.
Perfect.
Ice Cream Citadel.
Citadel. Here we go. All right, this is for those not initiated. This is the final boss encounter slash raid content for Wrath of the Lich King. Perhaps its finest hour. It was fantastic stuff. Who is the raid faction for Ice Crown Citadel?
Oh, considering it's been, 4, 5, 6 years since that thing came out, I have no idea.
No idea.
I have no friggin' clue.
That answer is incorrect. It is the Ashen Verdict.
Well, actually,
that makes sense.
He was absolutely right. He didn't have.
He didn't know.
Right.
Did he?
I had no clue.
Give him a point. See what I mean? It works in your favor sometimes.
That's right.
That's good.
What two abominations do you face in the Plagueworks wing of that thing?
It's right before you go up to Professor Putricide.
You're right.
And it is, I can see him in my head. One guy spews out the gas, the other one has the little guys to chase you around.
Yep. It's good for 4/10 of a point so far.
Right. I can't say their names. I don't know what they are. I'm sorry.
Fester Gut and Rot Face. Rot Face.
4/10 of a point, though.
They gave us real trouble.
Good. Yeah, nothing.
I'll take it.
Rot Face was hard in the day. All right. And I also hated those dogs you had to kill before you got in there. That trash sucked. What spell does the Lich King cover the floor with, and it gets larger the more people are standing in it? What is that called?
This one I actually know. It's Defile.
You are correct, and it was a huge pain in the butt.
4 points of pain in the bonus, too.
Ooh, very nice. Yeah. Nicely done. I can't tell you how many times we died on that stuff. How many bosses are there in the entirety of Ice Crown Citadel?
I would like to say that there are 10.
You are liking to say it wrong. It is 12. 12. I don't have them listed here, but you missed a couple. All right, who is the first boss in the ice cream? He wrote it this way here. The Ice Cream Citadel, first boss you fight.
Bone Storm Merilgar.
You are correct. Nicely done.
Quarter point acting bonus.
It's no fair. These guys are both good at that stuff. All right, next up, who is the second boss in the Frostwing Halls?
Frostwing Halls.
My favorite Canadian sitcom.
That sounds right. Like a Canadian.
Jeez. Is it? No, Sindragosa is the last one. I don't know.
You were so close. It was Sindragosa.
Balifria?
It was Sindragosa.
Oh, it was Sindragosa.
Yeah, he did. Does he get it, Tom? Because he said it.
He loses a half point for saying it. And then
you're a magic.
We'll destroy you. Worst voice. By the way, it's the same voice actor as the level in Heroes of the Storm with the seeds. Drives me crazy to hear her talk.
You're crazy.
Yeah, same lady. How much health does the Lich King have in 10-player normal mode?
Get out of here with that one. Leave.
That one's
seriously, Ice Worm?
That's terrible question. Take a guess. Okay. Stab at it. In fact, I'll give it to you within 100,000 points of life.
I think that's fair.
Oh, boy. Even that's going to be tough. Let's just say, I don't know, it was back in the day. Let's say a couple million.
17,400,000.
Yeah.
That's a lot more than I expected, too.
Yeah, me too. That seems high.
He's misspelled this. He called it the Lutch King, but we'll just say it that way. When did the Lutch...
The Lutch King only had a few million.
Oh, yeah, the Lutch King.
It's totally different.
When did the Lutch King first become available to fight in Raid? Final question, by the way. I'll give you this within... It's a month, a day, and a year. I will give you this within 2 months' time. You know, 2 months on either side.
Let's say... I know it was 2009, and I think it was at the beginning of it. So let's just say January-ish?
Answer is February 2nd, 2010.
2010?
I was going to give you a third of a point for the year, but...
Didn't even get that right.
All right, hold on to your butts, because we'll score you here in a minute. Now let's see how your good buddy Coltrane does in this.
Oh, boy.
Are you ready?
Good luck, Colt. Got to focus up here.
Yep.
That was rough.
Or as I call him, Ray of Frost. Here you go.
That's right.
Old War trivia.
Ooh.
Ooh, a little more recent. No, that was actually earlier, wasn't it?
Yes.
Never mind, yeah. Yeah, in fact, take your Wayback Machine further back. Here it is.
Ooh, Whitelands trivia.
Yeah. World of Warcraft beta trivia. Just kidding. Where is Northrend versus Old War located? Where in Northrend is Old War located?
It's in the north area. You know, right up there. Yeah. That's in that wonderful place. That we like to visit, yeah,
with
called,
the name,
I can't remember the name of it. Ice Crown?
You are incorrect. It is the Storm Peaks.
Oh, the Storm Peaks!
Ice Crown is in the Storm Peaks.
I'm giving him a point because I was convinced he knew it.
Yeah, it seemed like it.
That was warm up.
All right. Next question. Who is the final boss in Old War?
Are we talking bonus boss or?
Oh, you know what? Good question.
Like, because final boss is Yogg-Saron.
So you're going to get that right. And if you can name the other one, Tom will give you something extra. I don't know what.
That's the Starman guy.
Yep.
You know, the dude with the thing. And I can't remember his Avalon.
I think it is. Hold on. You're not wrong. Algalon. That's it. You got it. So Tom's giving anything extra for that?
We don't get nothing for not knowing the thing that wasn't really out.
Right.
Okay, well, in that case, I'm playing this.
Smoke weed every day.
All right, fine.
Yes.
Or a new car.
All right. Yes, Yogg-Saron, technically final boss, bonus boss.
You get full point for that. Yeah, that's absolutely right.
Who is the first boss in Halls of Stone?
Halls of Stone. That is... it's not... Is it the council, the dwarf dudes?
Oh, the Iron Council?
Iron Council, yes.
Is that your answer? Let's find out. Nope, it's General Bjarngrim.
Half point being misled by the questioner.
Yeah, that's what it was. I mean, I was misled by the person giving the question. It's unbelievable. I mean, what kind of thing you running?
It was a little cheap. It was a little cheap. Right. What two lines does XT002, the deconstructor, say after killing a player? Freaking hate that boss.
Oh, gosh, that was the worst.
Yeah.
He would stomp you and say,
I am so sorry.
No, don't try and lead me.
He's very apologetic. He was actually Canadian.
I know what you're up to.
Yeah.
Come out and play. I don't remember.
It says, I think I broke it, and I guess it doesn't bend that way.
Right. But you got to admit, the first time you pulled that boss, you laughed hysterically.
Oh, yeah, it was great. But then after the 12th time you pulled him, you wanted to kill yourself.
That's valid.
I think I'm going to give you a tenth of a point having lived through that pain.
Yeah, it was bad.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We should all get a tenth of a point for that. In what patch did Old War become available to the game?
The third one.
So 3.
You probably want a number.
Yeah, it'd be 3.0.
3.1.
You are correct. Nicely done.
Right.
Well done. Yeah, that was first. It was the high mall of that day, I suppose.
Right.
That was a big, epic kind of thing, though, man.
That was huge. That's still one of the best raids.
Oh, by far. Yeah, and the way it handled hard modes and stuff, just amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Loved it.
I'm giving 0.99. Because of the assistance of the questioner.
I agree.
Fair enough.
Questioner is being very over the line today.
A little bit.
He really is.
A little bit.
Crazy.
I apologize. All right. So how about this one then? What is the answer to this third to last question? Just kidding, that's too hard. What plated what plated proto drake is an optional encounter in Ulduar?
Oh, that's the second one, the female dragon to the right. Mm-hmm. That is
Rarian.
Draco, that's not the name. I can't remember.
It is Razor Scale. Razor Scale.
Okay.
All right,
okay.
Second to last question.
We're not doing too well here, Pat, I gotta admit. For a WoW, you know, rating guys.
Yeah.
Right.
Not really knowing these rates. Ice Storm
writes our questions, I think makes it a mission to, like, beat down every expert.
Yeah, I think he does, too.
Right.
You got to keep that in mind. What percentage of health does Yogg-Saron start third phase of his encounter with? I actually remember 10%. This. Oh, you're so not close. 30%!
Oh! Well, I figured 30, if I answered quickly,
because 30, that's when you go into his brain and all that, I think.
You're a third, right? You get a third of a point.
Yeah.
There you go.
Freaking hated him. Ugh, we beat our heads against that guy.
Oh,
all right.
Brain phase, man.
Yeah, brain phase is the worst. Don't look at it or whatever the hell happened in there. Yeah. All right, what boss in Ulduar is only available in hard mode?
That's Algolon.
You are totally correct. Nicely done. I was afraid you might not get it because of that question earlier. Nicely done.
Yeah. Right.
Yep. That's the one. Algolon the Observer. I still have the title I got from that fight.
We need some more Algolon.
That's one I wear all the time.
Algolon.
I never got that. I never got to fight that guy. I always wanted to.
Oh, he's great. It was one of the coolest encounters. And then they had that whole thing in Dalaran where it would do his voice and the sky would change. And that was awesome.
Yeah. Never done it. I always wanted to.
Just for fun, that was the last question, but there's a video, I don't know if I'm playing this whole thing, but me and Tom and Veronica, and who else was in there with us, were at BlizzCon 2011, and they did voiceover. Let's just see if we can get a piece of this.
Why would we want to do this?
I don't know.
Thrall, what are you doing here so soon?
The summon sounded dire, Jaina, what happened?
Yogg-Saron has awakened.
Where's Tom?
I want to see that dwarf.
Oh, that's the one, dude.
Wow.
It's real bad. It is real bad. Awesome. It's the worst thing ever made. It's back when they had to go through that booth and then they put it all on like a thumb drive when you're done. Anyway.
That's amazing.
He stuck that in there.
They need to get you in the game.
Yeah,
that's incredible.
Clearly. Tom, yes. Tom's
New
missed
expansion,
his calling.
I'm telling you.
Nicely done, everybody. Oh, yeah. That music means that Tom has now got scores in front of him. He's going to add them up, and he's going to tell us who won.
No, you guys didn't do badly at all. If you hear our past guest scores, these are right up there with them. Pat with 3.4. Coltrane with 4.89.
Nice. Yeah. Well done.
Nice work, Colt.
Yeah, good job, dude.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
You've done it. And that leaves us with this.
The future promises even more startling things to come.
Ladies and gentlemen, join us for the forecast segment. It used to be a show. It's now a segment. Don't feel bad because it's still lots of fun. And I put one in because I felt like doing it. It's a Warcraft related one. And it's this. Warcraft will drop its subscription price in the next couple of expansions. Go.
Whoa.
What do you think, man? $9.99. Come on.
Look out. Sure. Actually, I think they will. I mean, I think they're kind of taking the focus. It seems like lately they've taken the focus off of Warcraft and put it on their other new games. And so maybe we'll see a change with World of Warcraft where you can kind of maybe save some bucks on that because we're spending it on Overwatch and on Hearthstone and on Heroes of the Storm.
Yeah.
And tokens.
Yeah, tokens.
And tokens.
And tokens. What do you say, Coltrane? You think it'll go down?
I'm going to answer with the same intensity that you asked the question.
All right.
There was no chance at all that sub price will ever drop until there was some type of competition in the MMO market, something that is an actual threat. Until that day comes, it will remain at $15.
Including their own threat, right? Like if they need to drop subs to a point that they're in the million range or less users before it even matters. Because all their competition, that's where they hover, is right around a million or less. Like, in its heyday, EverQuest 1 was like 400,000, and people thought, no way anyone will beat that. Yeah. And now we're at, you know, 12 million or whatever, wherever they're at now. I'm sure they're a little lower now. But until they are way down deep into that territory, I kind of agree with you. I don't think that'll ever happen. But the idea of incentivizing players because they're playing their other games and spending currency and money and time in those games, which I'm doing a lot of lately, it would be really nice if some of that came the other way. Like, Tom, all this Hearthstone time you've been playing lately, it'd be nice if you were accumulating something. I don't know what. I don't know how that would work, but something.
I agree. Here's what I think. Okay, they've lowered the price before if you bought a year in advance.
Right.
and they gave you Diablo.
Sure.
So I expect to see them do that sort of thing again. Maybe it's like you get the equivalent of $10 a month if you, you know, pay for 3 months, or, you know, I don't even think it has to be a year. I expect to see them do another deal, especially now that the last expansion is starting to, you know, the bloom is off the rose a little. I would definitely expect to see that. I think you got to remember that $15 a month is cheaper now than it was when Vanilla WoW launched. Mm-hmm. So they've been lowering the price by not raising the price ever.
Oh, good point. Yeah.
And I think probably their best bet, because they want to count that money, right? Business-wise, they're like, that subscription revenue is always going to be $15. That's great. It's money we can count on. Let's give people more reasons to continue to pay for that. So I would expect to see them come at it from that end more first.
Yeah, certainly first.
Or how about this? Blizz coupons. Blizz coupons.
Blizz coupons.
That's right.
I hope
so you earn credit through playing other Blizzard games.
How about Blizz pawns? You like Blizz pawns? No?
Blizz lupins.
Blizz lupins?
Flowers.
We're on to something here. This is brilliant.
I think we got to talk to the guys over at Blizzard.
Well, listen, Chris Metzen and Russell Brower will be at Nerdtacular. Maybe we can just corner them off somewhere and we can say, look, guys, we have the solution. We know what's up.
My wife, I've started playing Heroes of the Storm a lot, which is a free-to-play game, by the way.
Fantastic.
And I've been purchasing Heroes. It's actually cheaper for me to pay $15 a month. Playing World of Warcraft. My wife begged me, just will you please go back to WoW? It was so much cheaper.
Yeah.
We start playing a free-to-play game.
Feed the children. Like that too.
Yeah. No, that's true. Hearthstone the same way. But like in Heroes, it's funny. It was no problem for me once I knew I loved that game the way I do. And that I'm actually good at it. I was like, yeah, I'm buying that Master Skin for freaking Thrall. And while I'm at it, I'm buying that $10 month-long booster. And while I'm here, I may as well buy that big pack full of all the tank guys or the Diablo pack or whatever, because I love all those characters. Like, they really know how to get me.
They do. And it's so easy. And you look at it, it's like, oh, it's $4. Well, I can afford $4, sure. But you do it 20 times.
Yeah.
That adds up.
It's insidious. That game is. And it's the problem with it is that it's really, really great. Yeah. If it was a piece of garbage, I wouldn't go near it.
I got to tell you one thing about Blizzard. It's pretty incredible that they've literally covered every single genre at this point. Mm-hmm. They got the MMO thing covered. They've got the RTS covered. You've got the MOBA thing covered. Mm-hmm. And now with Overwatch, you're going to have the FPS, the shooter covered.
Yeah. What's left?
It's insane. Strategy.
Well,
city simulation.
Okay. That I'd go for. Simulation. I'd do that. Oh my gosh. Would I do that? Set that in one of those universes?
Oh my gosh.
Dude.
Like raise Stormwind or something?
Oh,
or
my gosh. Amazing idea. What's another
Stormwind?
What's another? They gotta have one more genre that they haven't.
Simgrimmar.
I guess they don't have.
Simgrimmar.
You know what they need to do, and this is a dead serious point, and it goes with Forecast well. I think that Blizzard needs to make a game in world building, sandbox world building, because they are really good at linear constructed world stories characters. They're the best. But they're behind everybody, or behind the trend anyway, toward world building and Minecraft and a million other games that have kind of gone that direction. I mean, that is a very lucrative thing that they're not in right now. And I feel like one day, somehow, Blizzard gets into that pie, and I'm very interested in eating that pie.
Yeah.
Like,
give me a fork.
Like all their food.
The other thing I'll throw in here too is I bet we see another like free to play to level 60. Like,
right.
They're going to keep crushing down the expansions the way how fast you level and making more parts free to get you sucked.
Patrick Beja had an interesting point on the instance this morning, said that he felt like maybe we'd see a boost to 100 before this expansion's out. So you might see like tail end of of whatever final
boost
content.
To level 100.
Yeah, final story content comes out. Now everybody's there. Then they're like, all right, boost to 100. And maybe there's a cheaper way to do it for those who are already 90, or maybe they just straight up just say 100 and it's another $60. But one way or the other,
you use a token to boost.
Oh, look at that. See, there's another idea. That one's all right. They're going to make those Blizzmeebos too. You mark my freaking words. It's going to happen.
It, man.
You're crazy, Scott.
No one believes me.
I'm from Europe.
No, I'm from Europe and therefore I disagree. That's kind of how it's gone. Anyway, there you go. Thank you for that. Forecast is always fun. We got one email from a listener, Jared Pugh. Wrote in, currentgeek@gmail.com, by the way. He says this, "Dear people of Earth," I think we can all confirm that we're all that. That's fine.
Fair enough. Mm-hmm.
Do you think this will be a solid year for science fiction outside of Star Wars? Feels like it's been a while since we had a few more good choices for good sci-fi. What do you think? Says Jared Pugh. Tom, what do you? Let's start with you. What do you? What are you looking forward to sci-fi?
Well, I assume he's talking about movies and TV.
Yeah, I assume so.
You know, movie-wise, we are definitely still in a superhero glut for the most part. But there's a few that are coming out that look good. TV-wise, shaping up to be great. Dark Matter just had a trailer out today for sci-fi that looks really interesting. Mm-hmm. And The Expanse is coming this summer as well.
Oh, yeah.
It looks like there's a few more pilots in the works for broadcast networks also. So, yeah, I think we're building up to science fiction, maybe not exactly this year, but next year, starting to swing that pendulum back.
Man in the High Castle is next year?
Right, yeah, Man in the High Castle. I mean, Philip K. Dick is a sci-fi writer, and that's the book it's based on. It isn't so much sci-fi as alt-universe.
Yeah, good point.
But, yes, absolutely.
It scratches that itch, doesn't it? It does for me. Oh, man, can't wait for that.
Well, what scratches my current itch on the Sci-Fi Channel is the WWE stuff. It's really been great.
Right. Right.
Really enjoying the sci-fi on that. So really upset about the news earlier that it's going to be leaving.
Right.
That's the best science fiction.
It really
is. We replace it with the best science fiction, which is Sharknado.
Yeah. Right?
Sharknado 18 coming soon.
That's right.
Sharknado on Mars.
I'll throw in my hat into the ring to say I'm very excited about Expanse, even though I know very little about it. I just know tonally those trailers get me going, and I know that seeing Mike Ehrmantraut do anything other than Saul and Breaking Bad is exciting because I just freaking love him. That to me is the one on my radar, but I hope a few other things surprise me. That what's the Deus Ex looking one? What do they call it? The one about the robot girl that's just now coming out soon.
Ex Machina.
That's it.
I think.
Ex Machina.
Ex Machina.
Yeah,
that looks freaking great. Right. So
Can we count Tomorrowland as sci-fi?
Sure. Sure. It's science fiction.
That's looking pretty interesting.
Yeah. I mean, it's a little more general audience. And, you know, I will take plenty. I'll take general audience. I'll take weird, subversive stuff. I'll take, you know, whatever. I am in the mood for it. As much as I love fantasy, I feel like I'm a little fantasied out these days. And I need, I need a little.
We're getting a new Terminator, too. Yeah. Later this year.
Yeah. Ooh, a new Terminator 2. Look what
count
you predicted.
Magic Mike as. Yes.
I'm going to say, are these all the movies you paid for?
No, I'm just actually looking at the movie draft of what's coming out this year.
Oh, okay.
You've all pre-ordered all of these. Magic Mike 2. You're ready to go.
Double extra large.
Sexy man. sexy man. All right. That's going to do it for us. Huge thanks to our guests. You guys were freaking fantastic, as we knew you would be. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Let's go around.
Thank you very much.
Let's go around the horn and let you guys tell people where they can find you, either individually or jointly or whatever you want. What do you want to tell people?
ConvertToRaid.com. That's where the show is at. Convert to Raid on your podcatcher of choice. Another place that people can catch other podcasts that friends of ours do is signalsmedia.com. It's a little bunch of geeks over there as well.
Yeah, I love that. So. Torn think tank over there, man.
Yeah.
We love Jules.
For sure.
She's great. Yeah. She's been on this show, in fact. She was great on here.
Yeah.
In fact, it was her that said, hey, when are you going to have the CTR guys on? Oh, we will soon. And then forever went by.
Thanks for the reminder. We'll put them down in the notes.
It's a great show. and where are you guys on Twitter so people know where to follow you?
Pat Crane with a K. And Coltrane is at?
I'm at the_Coltrane, KOLTRANE. I apologize for the. That's the only thing I could get. I don't mean it to sound as pretentious as it does. I couldn't get Coltrane 5-5 and all that stuff.
All right. You and Terpster are both with the underscores. And,
I apologize.
You're in a nice exclusive group.
No, it's not like that. It was one of those, you know, when you're like going through and you're like, oh, try that. No, it doesn't work. Oh, that went through. I hope it was good. What was that?
Yeah.
You know, so.
You never know with Twitter, especially these days. Well, it's good to have you guys on. Thank you again so much. Tom, anything going on in your world?
Yeah, I wouldn't know anything about weird Twitter names, but I do know that if you're looking for a science fiction book to read, you can check out Citadel 32. There's a free PDF of it, or you can get print versions or ebook versions at tommerrittbooks.com. It's something that Scott Johnson made a little cover art for, too. You might want to buy it just for that.
Very pleased with it. I think they should buy it for the story. The art will just be gravy on that sweet piece of potato. Right there. So get it. It's a bad analogy. Should have been frosting on a cake. I would like to redo it.
I'm Irish. I like a potato.
Reminder, I am on the NVIDIA live stream at twitch.tv/NVIDIA for a big 3-hour block tomorrow, every Saturday, 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. Pacific time. We play a lot of games. We do interviews. We do news. We have a load of fun. And if you're interested in that at all, come on by and see me tomorrow. I don't know what I'm doing yet, but it'll be great. I can promise you that. Call us, leave us a voicemail, 801-471-0462. You were encouraged to do that. Follow Tom at Ace Detect. It's not a weird name at all on Twitter. Follow me at Scott Johnson. The show at Current Geek, currentgeek.reddit.com, currentgeek@gmail.com is our email address. And as always, currentgeek.com has all of our sub info. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Tom, and our guests. We'll see you next time. Well done, everyone.
Hi, this is Phil back with another Game Punting Pick of the Week from the world of crowdfunded tabletop games. This week we're going to take a look at Neon Sanctum from Grenade Punch Games, currently running on Kickstarter. Neon Sanctum is a cyberpunk role-playing game which replaces the conventional character sheet and design process with a selection of cards which the players are going to use to detail their in-game personas and to then resolve the action and challenges during the game. Now, clever mechanics allow the game to play much like a conventional RPG, but with some added utility facilitated by manipulating the character cards, which feels more supplemental rather than alien to the typical approach. Characters appear complete and options seem plentiful, while mechanics are well constrained for quick resolution and highly adaptable to the narrative. The ever-present inclusion of plenty of die rolls keeps things from straying too far into the unfamiliar territory as well. In addition to the cards used to define the abilities of the characters, the base game also packs in a fair number of additional item cards as well as a sub-deck of pre-generated NPCs for the DM to use against them. The card format should make Neon Sanctum an attractive gateway to RPGs for new players more familiar with tabletop games, or a system for veteran gamers looking for something a little different. The game's basic set will allow for a game with up to 4 players plus the Game Master and can be had with a $50 pledge. Now, Neon Sanctum is early in their campaign yet, with backers able to join through April 19th. For more news and reviews of crowdfunded tabletop games, join us on the Game Punting Podcast, available on iTunes or at GamePunting.com. Happy gaming!
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.